Today is June 3rd, 2019. It's 9:12 a.m. in the morning. I just saw my parents off 15 minutes ago on their vacation. This is the longest vacation they've ever taken in their life. They'll most likely be gone about a month, and I was so excited for them. I literally felt such a sense of joy for them being able to do this. My stepfather has done such a great job making up a bed and camping situation in the back of their new Sienna van, and they've gotten everything they need, and they're going to stay in a few bed and breakfast here and there, but they'll also do a little bit of camping in the van, and I'm just so excited for them. I mean, they both are excited, and Bella's going with them, and she's excited, and so came home from working this morning early to see them off. Now I'm headed back out. Persis came out also, and she's very quiet, subdued, but, you know, smiled and was kind to Bella and stuff like that as they were off their way. And then when my parents finally left and I went back in the house, I told her, I said, okay, you know, just let me know whatever you need. And she didn't say anything. She just kind of nodded her head a little bit. And then I washed up and got ready to go back out. A friend of mine just got back in town from the Bahamas, Bobby Junkin, so I'm going to go meet with him for lunch, but I'm going to go back out and keep finishing this work, keep going. And as I was leaving, I said, okay, I'm headed back out. And she looked over at me and gave me one of the saddest looks that I've seen. It's like a combination of sad and anger. I very rarely have seen this in Persis, and I saw it. And on one hand, it makes me feel such compassion for her, and it feels sad. But at the same hand, I have to keep going. I have to keep doing what God has asked me to do. And it's her pride. She's probably wanting me to come to her again, and I'm not doing it anymore. God does not do this with us. I've learned so much about how we always put the responsibility of reconciliation on God, and it is not His only responsibility. And as humans, we cannot think that it always has to be us that says we're sorry, us that goes and does that. No, that is not what God does. That's trying to be more holy than God. You know, cleanse your hands, you dirty sinners. Return to God. Humble yourselves before God. There's an action that is required on the part of the one who wants to be reconciled. You cannot, because of your pride, continue to just stay silent and waiting for God to, quote, make the next move. You have to take the next move. It's you that has to repent. It's you that has to make straight paths for the Lord to travel. It's you that has to get that sin and rebellion out of your life. You that has to humble yourself to receive the grace of God. And I see right now, perhaps my wife is sad because she now realizes she's going to be even more lonely in this house because there's nothing for her. The dog is gone. You know, she's going to have nothing. It's like when she was a child, she had that cat. Even though she had nobody else, she had that cat. And I've noticed that she's still being able to be expressive and affectionate with Bella. And it meets a need for her. But now Bella's gone. So she's going to have a whole month with nobody to talk to, nobody to express the affection from or to receive affection from, because I am no longer going to stay in this situation and just continue to give her the affection without repentance. God does not do this with us. People that think He does are terribly deceived. You have to, quote, get right with God. You have to be honest with God. Luke 8:15 stands for those who with a noble or honest heart. You have to be honest. You have to come to God and swallow your pride and say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I made a mistake. Lord, I need to talk. He has the patience of God. He can wait forever. If you never open your mouth, God's not going to force you to open your mouth. He's not going to force you into humility. And yet He'll still reach through and give you many opportunities to do so. He'll still show you ways. I'm still here. I'm still available. This is the right path. You should do this. But he will not humble himself before you. He just will not do it. That is not God. And I thank God that we have a God who will not stoop down beyond what he already has by sending Jesus Christ into the womb of a 13-year-old impoverished Hebrew little girl to be born into nothingness to save us from our sin. I am sorry, but as a spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ, that is condensation enough for God. The rest of the condensation needs to be on our part. It is ridiculous that we continue to do this to God, and I'm speaking for myself too for the times where I may have done this. It is ridiculous to put ourselves in the position of we are God and you have to come to me and reconcile, and that's no different than what human beings do to each other. I'm going to hold on to my pride. I'm going to hold on to my position. And, you know, you're going to have to be the one that comes to reconcile with me, even though, quote, I'm the one that did what's wrong. That is not the way God works. If you confess your sins to God, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sin, your unrighteousness, and cleanse you. Not if he has to drag it out of you. You have to be honest with God. You have to be, and that's what, you know, humility is about. And I see my wife, and I feel, on one hand, I feel such compassion for her. I long for reconciliation with my wife. I would love to be able to go embrace her and give her a hug. And I know how Father feels. I know how Father feels when we will not, and we hold on to our stinking, stubborn pride, and sometimes as a result of the lies of Satan, for whatever reason, making you feel you're not the one that's done something wrong, or perhaps making you feel like you've done too much wrong and you cannot go be reconciled with Father. And yet I see how Father stands and he longs for us to be reconciled to him. He longs. He longs for us to do our part and to humble ourselves and to be honest. He longs for it as I'm longing for my wife. I see that sad, disappointed look in her eyes, that she gave me a look like it's crying out for help. She's not going to get it until she humbles herself, until she admits that what she said was horrible, until she admits that she has gone astray. She has to come clean, just like we have to come clean. And yet, I suffer when she doesn't come clean, when she holds on to her pride, when she stands her ground, when she digs her heels into, when she makes excuses using her personality or her disposition. This is just the way I am. You know, God's going to let a lot of people just the way they are go to hell. Because that's just the way they are. They won't humble themselves. Up, let the record in heaven show. Michael Criswell, although he is confident in what he speaks, although he is passionate before the Lord and in what he's been called to do, Michael Criswell is a man who's been broken and who continually stays in a state of brokenness, realizing I know virtually nothing of what I need to know. Constantly humbling myself in need of fresh revelation, fresh forgiveness, fresh insight, fresh communion with God. I'm not the hypocrite who hasn't seen the plank in my own eye and is pointing it out in somebody else. On the contrary, my life is evidenced of constantly, consistently going to God honestly. Father, here's what I see. God, show me what I don't see. Father, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry I did this again, or I'm still living like this, or whatever it is in my heart. God, help me in the name of Christ Jesus. I'm honest with God. I'm not perfect. Let the record show how much weakness I have. I am pathetically weak. The more I follow after Christ, the farther down this road I get, the more I see how pathetically weak I am. The more I see why God wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for me, included in the we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power comes not from ourselves, but from God. I am so weak. I see my jar of clay all the time. The power that is in me comes not from myself. I'm too weak to have this kind of power. It comes only from the Holy Spirit in spite of the broken, cracked jar of clay. I'm recognizing now this lesson of Father wants us to humble ourselves before him. It makes me so angry, to the pride of men who will not humble themselves as if they're God. And as if God doesn't already know. I already know everything that's going on in my wife's heart. I already know the darkness. She can't tell me anything that I don't already know. God's given me insight, and I've been involved in this story. I've seen it. Persis couldn't tell me anything I don't already know, except for things that she makes up or Satan tells her. And yet, she will not come clean. She will not come to that place. She's holding on to her pride. She's trapped by her fear. And then I suffer, and God suffers. When men and women will not humble themselves, it's a terrible, terrible injustice that we do to God when He's standing there with arms open wide saying, I'm willing to forgive you. Come, child, come. Come to the fountain of all mercy. Come to the fountain of all love and faithfulness. Come, be honest with me. Tell me that you messed up. Tell me you're prideful. Tell me you've made a mistake. Tell me you've been ignorant for years. Tell me you walked away. Tell me you're cold. Tell me you sided with the enemy. Be honest. I'm right here. I love you. The one thing you must have in order to come to me is honesty, humility. No matter how many times you have to have it, you have to have it. And I'll be right there waiting for you. I feel the indignation of the Spirit inside of me and the pain of my wife not willing to repent. Of people not willing to repent. Thinking like Adam and Eve, they can cover up their sin and hide it from God as if He doesn't see. The God who knows our every thought before we even have it. That's a level of seeing that humans can't understand. In spite of all this, I walked out and I have a sense of gratitude. That I see that she's hurting and she needs to hurt. The only way God can get through to you is to break you. She needs to hurt and I have to stay strong. And I see how Father may want to fight, having to hold Himself back to come and rescue us. When He knows if He rescues us from our circumstances and from our pain, it's essentially Him rescuing us from heaven. It's rescuing us from having a relationship with Him. And so God has to delay, and He has to watch, and He has to let the prodigal run farther, faster, longer. And I see how His heart breaks when we run from Him. I see why He gets so excited over one sinner who repents. I see it. It makes me so angry. Because of pride, stupid, hellish pride, my wife won't repent. And people all over the world won't repent. To hell with pride! To hell with it! I'm sick and tired of pride of people. I'm sick and tired of my own pride in whatever ways I see it that keeps me from knowing the Father more and pleasing Him. And it's horrible to see what a great tragedy it is, because people are so stinking prideful. They're so afraid. They won't admit I'm weak. I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. My parents dropped me on my head emotionally and I'm messed up, and people won't admit it. They hide. They fake. They lie. They live such ridiculous, fruitless, as the Bible says, useless lives. Like, it's horrible. All because of pride. Pride can turn the nicest, most adorable person into a devil. And I know more people than just my wife that this happens to. It's not just my wife. I know some other adorable people who by pride have been locked up into this. This is just the way God made me. What you're saying is God made you to be fuel for His flames. the grace of Christ cannot change you, it cannot save you. A.W. Tozer. I know how Father's heart breaks. I have that image of Persis's eyes as I walk out the door. And again, I know how much he wants to run to us. I know why. When the son finally returns and says, "What am I doing out here?" I know why. When the father sees him from afar, he doesn't say, "Yeah, well, I'm just going to sit here and let that boy see who was right. Told you so, you big dumbass." No, that's not the father that we have in heaven. The father we have in heaven runs after us when he sees us finally come honest. It's not the father's fault that we don't feel the love of God. It's always our fault. It's always our fault. Because that's a father who runs. That's a father who runs. I feel how I would like to, with the Spirit of Christ in me, I would love to, I long to run to my wife. I want to run to her. All the evil that she has said about me, and all the evil she's done in our marriage, and all the evil she's done in her relationship with Christ would be washed away in 1 second through repentance. I know how cleansing repentance can be. I know how powerful humility can be before God, because I know the capacity that I have right now in my heart by His Spirit to completely forgive her and love her perhaps more than I've ever loved her if she would just repent. I feel the Father's desire for repentance. He is not this angry God who sits up looking down his nose at us, pointing a stout finger and saying, "You dirty creep! You loser!" That's the devil who does that. God is severe. One day, if we do not repent, He will judge us, but even then the Bible says He doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked. God does not ever look down His nose. And I'm beginning to understand that more and more as I see something happen like what's happened with my wife. I feel like Jesus Christ pleading through me for repentance of the saints. Pleading through me, making His plead through me. Be honest. Swallow your pride. Stop thinking that you know everything. Stop looking down on other people. Stop judging God's servant and begin to judge yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. Confess your sins with an honest heart, and He will forgive you. My wife has had 2.5 years of flirting with God's greatest enemy. She has done and said some very horrendous evil things towards the Spirit of Christ in me and the work thereof. And in spite of all that, I hear Jesus saying, "All sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven." I see and feel. I feel the heart of God to forgive. I feel the heart of God in this situation with my wife to literally wipe out 2.5 years of infidelity, 2.5 years of rebellion, 2.5 years of spiritually sleeping with the enemy. I hear and I feel and I know God's mercy, God's willingness to reconcile and wipe the slate clean. I know it now better than I ever have. I wouldn't know this revelation right now had I not been living this for 2.5 years. I see God's amazing long-suffering and patience to reconcile with us for 2.5 years, not 2.5 days, not 2.5 weeks, not 2.5 months of sinning, 2.5 years of walking farther and farther into the darkness. And I know if she will repent. I can wipe the slate clean on all of it and be immediately, not like even having to say, well, I don't trust you anymore. I forgive you, but you know, you're going to have to earn back my trust. No. If I saw genuine repentance, and you know something, this is a gift from Father. This is how Father does from us. He doesn't say you have to earn my trust back. You may have to prove your faithfulness and other things walking with him, but God doesn't look at you and remember. When you confess, he remembers no more. He doesn't look and say, well, I don't know, because you know, you used to do that an awful lot and I kind of remember, and you know, there's a really good chance you may do that again. No, God does not do that. When he sees true repentance, he absolves and wipes the slate clean, remembering the sin no more, washing you as white as snow, casting your sinfulness, your rebellion, your filthiness into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't forget it. God doesn't have the ability to forget. He holds it against you no more. He chooses to remember it against you no more. And I can do that with my wife. See, right now I have forgiven my wife of all the things that she has said and all the things that she has done and for not loving me and walking away from the marriage and betraying me, etc., etc. I have forgiven her for it. I hold no resentment towards her. I don't constantly remember it against her except for to tell of the story and to use this as an illustration that has been in accordance with God's will. However, I do not trust my wife right now because there has not yet been repentance. So I can forgive my wife, but yet I do not trust her. She's not reconcilable back to me right now spiritually until she comes to repentance. It is the same thing with God. In order for you to have that intimacy with God and to know him, you have to reconcile back with him. And once you reconcile back with him, God absolves you. When he sees true repentance, as Paul calls for, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Peter called for it. John the Baptist called for it. If and when God sees that true repentance as evidenced by the fruitfulness, is there a change in your heart? Is there a change in your mouth? Is there a change in your behavior? Is there a change in that situation? When God sees that, that brings reconciliation. And he absolves you, wiping that slate clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this, God. I have personally experienced this in my life. There were times when I had sexually sinned. I've talked about it in past journal entries years ago, and I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, and I stumbled into it. And when God, I tried to justify it biblically and all kinds of circumstantial reasons why I tried to justify it. And finally, when I quit trying to justify it, when I quit trying to hide, I went to God and confessed my sin and said, God, forgive me. And I remember within minutes of that confession, God had given me complete full reconciliation. Where can you get that on this earth? God gave me full reconciliation and once again showed me he loved me. There was another time that this happened, and a week after I confessed and got right with God and was so angry that this happened, God blessed me with the very automobile that I'm sitting in right now as a free gift. And this had been planned before I fell into sin. God, once I reconciled with him and confessed my sin, God gave me this gift. And I thought, God, but I don't deserve it. See, that's not the way God works. He doesn't say to his prodigal son, now listen, if you hang out here and you demonstrate good behavior, and after a few months or a few years, I begin to see that you're not going to run off like this again, and that you can be trusted back with some of your inheritance, and I really see that you've paid penance for your horrible guilt of running out after all the prostitutes in the material world and all the things that you did to splurge and ruin your inheritance on, wasting it on. Once I see some behaviors around here, then I'm going to slowly let you back in the fold and I may consider that you're a son. Heck no, our God does not do that. That is not our God. That's human behavior. That's not God behavior. Now look, God will not welcome you back into the house. God will not kill the fattened calf. God will not throw his best coat. God will not throw a wonderful ring on your finger if you're holding back in repentance. The prodigal son came back and said, I am unworthy to be called your son, but make me a servant among the lowest servants. He was honest. I messed up so bad that I do not even deserve to be called your son. But the fact is, he was his son. But somehow or another, he recognizes that his behavior and his alienation and his rebellion has made him unworthy to carry the name of that father, to be a son in his household. What honesty, what humility. Matthew the tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven, but instead beat his own breast and said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Peter in the boat, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." When he sees the provision of such a bountiful catch of fish, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Humility, honesty. You do not condemn yourself when you finally admit you are a terrible, dirty, rotten, worthless, rebellious sinner against God. You do not condemn yourself by admitting the truth. Adam and Eve would not have condemned themselves by admitting the truth. We condemn ourselves when we hide the truth. This is what we have to realize. You condemn yourself every day you live in a lie, every day you live in unrepentance, every day you hold on to pride. You condemn yourself. God will not condemn you for telling the truth of what he already knows. This has been one of the secrets of my relationship with God, in spite of all the countless weaknesses I have recorded for the world to hear, that I am not some perfect holy saint. I must be among the lowliest of those considered to be holy saints. I read of lives that are 10,000 times holier than mine. And nonetheless, God works in my life. And nonetheless, God tells me he's proud of me. And nonetheless, God loves me. Nonetheless, God showers me with his spiritual blessings. And he meets my needs in the temporal world. And he uses me. And one of the secrets of this weak life that's been yielded up to God is a constant honesty before God. One of the greatest compliments, and you know, I'm going to stand on this, is the greatest compliment that I have ever received in the years of all my ministry. It's not how great of an orator I am, not how transparent I am, not how faithful I am, not how obedient I am. I have a new, higher compliment. The greatest compliment that I have ever received, the highest honor I have ever received from anybody in 7 years and tens of thousands of emails, came from my brother Jared. If anybody ever asked, I would say I have never seen anybody repent like Michael Criswell. This from a person who lived with me for 8 months. In a time when I was without the grace of God, but I was not without the conviction of God. I was not without the Holy Spirit of God. I was without his power to put down my weakness. I was in a state of that wretch. And so they saw that I repented. I was honest about my sin. I was honest about my pride. I was honest about self-exalting. I was honest about looking down. I was honest about judging. I was honest about my impatience. I was honest about my misunderstanding or prejudging things. That is the hope for Michael Criswell. Not because I'm perfect, not because I never make mistakes, not because I'm some sinless saint that needs to be turned into a statue, but because I'm honest. I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with God. As far as the light I have, I'm honest about it. When God shows it to me, I show it back to him. That's the life of a true saint of God. When God shows you something honestly, you have to honestly show it back to him. It's not God that needs to know whether or not that sin's in you. God wants to know if you know that sin is in you, if you know that pride is in you. That's what God requires. God requires for us to see and admit that which he has seen and admitted for a long time. And I tell you, as a spirit-filled man of God, I know that Father wants us to reconcile with him from our darkest, longest periods of sin. I know how much he longs. I stand and look at my wife and my heart is broken for her. But I also am filled with hope. This is an important point I want to add to this entry, is that I'm filled with hope. I know that God is at work. And if I will continue to do my part, It's amazing to me how the worst look I've received from my wife in the longest time happened just this morning as I'm pressing harder and harder towards that finish line that's only a few recordings away. That God is going to intervene and he's going to have to break my wife. Is my wife unbreakable? Can God not break anybody once? Can God not see that there's a good heart in there that's simply been trapped by fear, that's been kept alive by pride, that's been kept in rebellion by pride? And that once he touches her, he can warn her and wake her up out of this and free her and bring her to repentance. My wife has repented before. She's had it in her. She's had an honest heart. It's been harder for her to be honest because she comes from India. And in India, you can't be honest with people. You can't share your feelings. Any kind of weakness is used as something to keep you down, something to put you in bondage, something to control you with. So God knows where my wife came from. He remembers these things. I'm going to end this recording. I've got to get in and finish this work, but I have hope that God is going to bring my wife to repentance, and I have hope for other people who will hear this story to stop lying to themselves about what they think God thinks about them or what the devil has said God thinks about them. Always trying to create doubt about the goodness of God and about their relationship with God, but instead they'll get brutally honest and tell God what he already knows and has been patiently waiting for you to admit.